Who he is. Thank you. Good morning. Good to see everyone here today on a bright and sunshiny morning, a whole lot warmer than it was a week ago Sunday morning. So welcome to you all on this beautiful day. Some announcements, of course, that I have to go over before we go on with our service. The women of the church, just a reminder, your business meeting was moved to next Sunday right after church, so please be aware of that. Also, we had last Sunday was the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, so we had the offering plate in back for those that wanted to give. We just thought we'd leave it there once more today, since I know there were many who weren't here last Sunday because of the cold. So if you desire to, you're certainly welcome to do that. The plate is just at the back of the sanctuary. There is a sign-up sheet in the narthex. We're trying to see about the interest again of a chancel choir singing for maybe Easter Sunday or Monday, Thursday. That's sort of been our pattern. So if you're interested, sign your name there. It's always a challenge of trying to find the right time that works for most of us to practice. So there's like three options there. I'm not going through it. You can look on the paper. Of what you think would work best for you. Excuse me. I want to announce about these. Let me see here. I think this flower, this first one, the one down below it, and probably the one right beside it, those three are in memory of Norma Kirschman. We had her memorial service yesterday afternoon. Norma, if you didn't know her, she made it to 100 years old. Almost 101. Then we have flowers. The one on the easel is in memory of Elmer Zabe. We had his memorial service last Sunday afternoon. And the others are, of course, from some of the other funerals that I announced about a week ago. So thank you for the families for sharing those with us. In the bulletin, I'll just explain a little about our trip coming up, Anne and myself. The first part of it is a week from tomorrow, we'll be, Anne and I, Greg and Melanie Wilcoxon, will be flying down to Orlando, Florida. That's for our denomination's board of directors meetings. So as Greg serves as treasurer now, then that puts him as well on the board of directors. So that'll be Monday, Tuesday, half a Wednesday in Orlando. And then from there, Ann and I are driving down to Miami that afternoon, and we'll meet up with my twin brother Mark and his wife, and then Thursday morning, fly out early to Port-au-Prince, Haiti, which is where Peyton is a missionary there. She was our Mission Fest speaker, if you remember, 2 years ago. So we're going to spend a few days with her and hopefully see that house that you all helped build for that family of that little girl in her school, and see the work that's going on there. So we will be back, God willing, on the night. We fly in sort of late the night of Wednesday, February 12th. So there'll be times, and I'll announce this next Sunday too, when we're actually in Haiti. The cell phone service is very limited. So you'd have to contact probably David or Jennifer Herbolt first of all if there'd be an emergency. They would have a way to get in touch with us, okay? Last announcement is today we have our annual meeting. We have lunch after church for everybody. You are all invited and welcome, and Matt Fisher has worked all night on this pork loin. He might still be working on it now. I'm trying to see if you're here, Matt. Yeah, literally, all night. We had it last year. It was very delicious. So he did say next year somebody else has to do it, though. That's for lunch, and then we have our annual meeting at 1 o'clock today. I need to go over the nominations to the consistory one more time. As our constitution says, I have to verbally say this. So Steve Pressler has been nominated as elder, first term. Brian Gehring has finished out his second term as elder, so that would be replacing that spot. Steve Huber, nominated to serve a second term as deacon. Mark Anderson, also nominated to serve a second term as deacon. And of course, there can be nominations from the floor, as it says in the bulletin. So hopefully you can stay for that as well. It is an important part in the life of our congregation, required by law, even as a nonprofit corporation. So we'll enjoy the lunch and the meeting together. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you again and again for such a beautiful morning. The sun shining so brightly, the mild temperatures here, the end of January. It's a wonderful blessing. And Father, as we sang that last chorus there, and as your word declares, you are the Lord of all creation. The heavens declare your majesty. The heavens are your tabernacle, and you are holy and righteous and true in all of your ways. And yet you love us so very much. You made this planet Earth, and you placed it in our galaxy and our part of the universe, and you made the conditions just right for mankind to live here and for you to interact with us and to even become a man in Christ and live among us for a time to provide a way of salvation for us to join you in heaven when that day comes. We are so grateful, Father, for the fellowship we get to have with you, for the fellowship we get to have with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ gathered here this morning. How blessed we are. And so we come to worship you and honor you and to sing our praises before your throne. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless this service with your wonderful presence. We ask that you would fill this sanctuary with your glory and your goodness and move among us by the power of your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together, please. Our opening hymn will be, it's titled, My Savior's Love. Let's stand. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5, if you're following in the hymnal. Thank you. Amen. Beautiful singing today. Why don't you greet those around you? Tell them you're glad they're here before you're seated. Joys and concerns here this morning. Just some things that I have written down. First, an update on Milton Hondel. He had been in the hospital for almost a week, and he was able Thursday to go back to the care center there in Mitchell, where he lives at Avera Brady. And he is on hospice care. However, I guess the good news, Ann and I were up Friday afternoon to visit him, and from the times I saw him in the hospital, he sure had improved quite a bit as of Friday, which was wonderful to see. So we just continue to lift Milton up in our prayers. Also, prayers for Curtis Zabe. Curtis had surgery this last Wednesday down in Yankton. There was a large polyp that had to be removed from high up in the colon. I hope I'm telling it right. But he came through the surgery well. It's benign, I believe, as far as they know, the tumor. I'm sort of looking at Elaine to give me a... We're waiting for the biopsy, maybe? Okay, maybe I shouldn't say that. They think it is, maybe is how I should say it. So hopefully Curtis will get to come home today, is the hope. So be praying for Curtis and Elaine as well. Continued prayers for Lee Palmerville. That just is having a lot of struggles with his health and hasn't been able to be with us here for the last few Sundays. Also, the one-act play here at Menno High School, the kids, there's a lot of them from our church that are in that. They did a great job last night, if you were there. We enjoyed it, and they'll be going for their region competition this Wednesday in Brandon. Brandon? Yeah, okay. So, anything else over here? Micah. Say that again. Last Wednesday was Hallie's birthday. Yes, number 15. Happy birthday, Hallie. Yes. Dawn? Okay. Continued prayers for Dawn's mom. She's in Florida, right? Okay. Some struggles going on there. Okay. Anybody else over here? Joni. Today is Bruce and Mary Hondel's anniversary. Happy anniversary. What number are we at? Next year is what? Jubilee? Well, happy 49th. That's wonderful. Happy anniversary to them. Yeah. Anybody else over here? Greg.
My beautiful bride's got a birthday coming up Thursday.
Okay. Melanie Wilcoxon's birthday is coming on the 30th. Happy birthday to you. All right. Yes, Devin. Yeah. Great. Great. Devin's mom has been improving very much. Doesn't need a walker to get around. And okay, praise the Lord. All right. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for these joys. Joy, certainly with Devin's mom, of improving so much in her physical health. And we thank you for it, Lord. We pray that that will continue. Lord, we thank you for the birthdays mentioned and ask you to bless these individuals for the anniversary, Bruce and Mary's, and we thank you for them and their lives and their service to you so faithfully in many ways. Thank you for many more years together for them. Lord, we pray for the families of those who we've seen several in this last month of our dear loved ones go home to be with you. And for that, we do rejoice that they are in heaven. But Lord, for the families, we need your comfort and your strength day by day. And we thank you that you are the God of all comfort. And you comfort us in all of our trials of this life, whatever they might be. We thank you, Lord, as we lift up Curtis Zabe, as you brought him through that surgery on Wednesday successfully, and your healing continues within him. And we pray, Lord, that as planned, that he'll be able to come home today, Heavenly Father. We pray for Lee and Pat Palmerville. Lord, the struggles especially that Lee is having right now, we just lift them to you. Give Pat the strength that she needs as she cares for him. We pray for wisdom to the doctors as they try to level things out with the meds. Lord, we look to you for your healing touch to him. We thank you for Milton Hondel as he was able to go back to his care center room there in Mitchell. And Lord, thank you that what, from the outside anyway, seems to be much improvement, and we just lift him and his family up to you as well. Thank you, Lord, for other individuals here, Lord, who have come through chemotherapy, some still in the midst of the process. We just lift these all up to you. Thank you for working your healing touch in their bodies. I want to pray for Tyler Ulmer as he's in the hospital in Yankton, and thank you for healing throughout his being. Lord Jesus, you are the great physician. Your word tells us that. And Lord, we pray for our nation. As always, we ask and we intercede for a great awakening to our nation. We've heard of them in the history of our land, and we so desperately need a revival to this nation to bring us back to your word, the truth of your word. Thank you, Father, for your will to be done. We pray, as always, for our troops, our military serving at home, through the guards, through full time at home and overseas, and we ask that you keep them safe. Lord, I think certainly of our first responders in the cold temperatures and as they have to go out in all types of weather, our policemen, our firemen, our EMTs, that you keep them safe. Those that work for the state and county on the highways as well that have to be out and about in all kinds of conditions, keep them safe. Father, for those that maybe are starting in on the calving, watch over them as well. We thank you, Lord, that you give us strength day by day. And for our high schoolers in the one-act play, as they go to Brandon this week, just bless them and those talents you've put within them. Help them to do their very best. For Dawn Kishbaugh's mom, Lord, we lift her up too there in Florida. And thank you for watching over her, keeping her safe. For any other requests, Lord, that were mentioned or that are in our hearts, you know them. Thank you for being at work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 31, I want to read verse 19 before we receive our offering today. Psalm 31, verse 19, and this is from the Amplified Bible. It says, "How great is your goodness, O Lord, which you have stored up for those who reverently fear you, which you have prepared for those who take refuge in you." Beautiful verse there, Psalm of David. And we do take refuge in him, and he is good all the time. Let's receive our offering this morning.
I'm awake in the end, but it's gone.
Father, as we stand here with our hearts wide open in worship before your throne, giving ourselves to you, for you are the only one. You are the one true God. And your word says, where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Father, these are part of the treasures that we bring to you, the first fruits of all of the increase as you ask of us. We give joyfully, cheerfully, not grudgingly, not out of compulsion or necessity, but only because we love you and we know that our very life and health and strength is from you alone, Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you. We ask you to multiply these gifts for the work of your kingdom in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And thank you, Cindy. That was a surprise that I didn't know was happening. Beautiful song. Thank you. The children can come for the Kingdom Kids time. Okay.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see everybody here today. Well, I want to show you something. Something that my mother-in-law made. Now, do you know who my mother-in-law is?
No.
Who would that be, though? His mom. That's right. That's my husband's mom. And she made this beautiful quilt. Let's see. Maybe Mike can help me a little bit. This is a quilt that she made. Look at the detail of this. Whoops, I knew I was going to be dropping everything. She made that. Isn't it beautiful? And then she took it to the fair in Sioux Falls. Sioux Empire Fall. And she got the best, what does it say? The best of show, purple. She got the best of show of that. Isn't it beautiful? And see, this just wasn't, she had to take that and make that on purpose. She had to take this big quilt that you see now. It didn't used to look like this. It used to be scraps of material and parts of material that were all different, that were all apart. And then she had to sew that. And she sewed a lot of it, and she took it to places that quilted the back of it, and voila, it's beautiful, isn't it? Did you show the congregation? They can see it on there, okay. Well, since I saw that beautiful, I don't need it. Well, you can just, I do need it actually. I just thought, that is so beautiful. My mother-in-law did such an awesome job on that I thought, well, I want to make a quilt too. All right, so will you help me make a quilt? Will you? Come on, be game. Never know what I'm going to do, right? Well, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. And when I say bang, I'm going to throw these pieces of materials up in the air, and they're going to come down. They're going to be a quilt. What do you think? Are you game? When I say one, two, three, you say bang. I'll throw them up, and they're going to come down a quilt. Ready? Come on, let's try. You want to try it? All right, ready? Okay, here we go. One, two, three.
Bang!
Oh, it doesn't look like a quilt, does it?
No.
Did you really think it would be a quilt?
No.
I know. Was that like the dumbest idea you ever heard of? Yeah, it's pretty dumb, isn't it? I know, I do some silly things there. But do you know what? My mother-in-law did not just make her quilt like that. She made it on purpose. She had a plan. It was not just an accident that just went together like that. No way. And you know what? I believe that you and I are not here by accident either. I believe, and I think you do too, that everything in this world was created by who?
God.
God. He did. And he had a plan and a purpose for everything. You know what the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11? That's kind of a popular verse. It says, I know the plan that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. God says that over this. Isn't that awesome? He has a plan for us, for each one of you. He has a plan that he has had in his mind since you were in your mom's stomach and even before that. He knows each one of you. And you know what else it says in Ephesians 2:10? It says this in our Bible. For we are God's handiwork or workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Not bad works, right? No, good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So see, he has a plan for each one of us. He has a special plan for you. He wants you to do what kind of works? Good works. That's his plan for us. What are some kind of good works that you think God wants you to do? What are some good works that we know about? Read the Bible. He wants you to read the Bible so you know what is true and how we should be and how big God is. What else? What else does he want us to do? Does he want you to be mean to your neighbor and be mean to the kids at school? No. What does he want us to be like, Trent? Go to church. He wants you to go to church so you can be around people that believe like you do. He wants you to love your neighbor. He wants you to put others first. And he has put special gifts inside each one of you. He didn't just say, boom, there's Aiden. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for your life and for all of our lives. Some of you already have talents that you already know. How many of you play music already? Piano or an instrument? You already do. How many of you? Piano. How many of you sing already? How many of you are in sports and do that? How many of you are Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts or whatever things you're in? Those are gifts that God has put in you and talents. And you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to ask him. What does he want us to do? How does he want us to live this day today? He has a plan. He has made us, and he has put wonderful things in each one of you. Okay? All right. Now, I did not forget about those babies I told you about last week. However, I did not get them ordered on time. So we're going to get them next Sunday, okay? Again. Well, I know, I forgot. You mean I forgot again? Or what? Again, okay.
Next Sunday.
No, I'm not. I'm believing that they will be here this week, okay? All right. Let's pray. Father, close your eyes. Fold your hands. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you that we weren't created by mistake. We are not an accident in your eyes, or never were, but you've made of us on purpose, and we are made as in your workmanship, to be your workmanship, created in you, Jesus, to do good works. Even no matter how young we are, help us to be loving to each other and to be listening to our parents and teachers, and help us to do the things that you've called us to do, Lord. Read your word. Come to church as was said. We believe you have a plan for us, a good plan. Help us to be already asking, the older ones, help us to be asking, what is that, God, you want me to do? Do you want me to do this or that? And help me to do it to the best of my ability. I pray for these boys and girls wherever they go this week, Lord. Help them to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Anne. We're going to sing number 660, I Will Serve Thee. Let's sing this twice through. Bow our heads once more, please, in prayer. Father, we do thank you now for your word as we look into it. We thank you, Lord, and your word tells us that without you, Jesus, we are nothing. But in you, we can do all things because you give us strength. And so thank you for healing our lives. Thank you for picking up the broken pieces and putting us back together again. Thank you for your patience for each and every one of us as we walk day by day on this earth. Thank you, Father, for the power of your Spirit that works so mightily within each of us as your children. Father, I ask that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 2. This morning, verses 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul said, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this, not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Amen. Very familiar verses. The verse we're going to focus on is that 10th verse there, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we're working through this series of who we are in Christ. So important. I just want to say too, this isn't supposed to be some kind of thing on positive thinking and all whatever that the world tries to do. Not that we shouldn't be positive thinkers, we should be. But this is based on God's word as who we are in Christ when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we are placed in Him. That's what this is all about. As I've told you, we look through the epistles, starting in Romans, those letters all the way through, and we watch for these phrases, in Him, in Christ, in whom, if the whom is Jesus, through Christ, through Him. That's what we're watching for, of how does He see us? What did He make us to be? We've gone through two of them. First of all, number one, that we are a new creation in Christ. That's so important to know that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if it's not just an automatic, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And all this is from God. We didn't do it ourselves. Brand new. Where? Right here on the inside, in our spirit being. Anne had the illustration a couple weeks back of the caterpillar going in the cocoon, coming out as this beautiful butterfly. Total transformation. And so it is with us. I heard just this morning, early, 6 o'clock, I was having my breakfast and listening to this preacher, and he was sharing an example. I hadn't heard it before, but he said that Martin Luther used an illustration one time that, you know, if you could go and knock on the door of his heart, so to speak, after he became a new creation in Christ, someone went and knocked on the door of his heart, and the door opened, and it was Jesus. And the person said, oh, I was looking for Martin Luther. And Jesus said, he's not here. He died. He's living in me now. I'm the new owner of the house. And that, I thought that was a neat illustration. That's how it is. We are a new creation, brand new. The old is gone, the new has come. Second one, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Still 2 Corinthians 5, but we go to verse 21. God the Father made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin. That's the cross, right? To be sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And so you are, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are in right standing with God as your Father. Now that is something amazing. Totally amazing. You can know that He hears your prayers. Because of your goodness? No, nothing to do with your goodness or how good we think we might be, which we're not. It's all Him and His blood that has made us to be right standing with our Father. Isaiah talked about the prophet Isaiah prophesying way ahead to the church age where we're living right now. And he said this in chapter 61. I delight greatly in the Lord, and my soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation, and He has arrayed or covered me with a robe of righteousness. That's you, covered with a robe of righteousness in Christ. What a blessing. So let's go on to today, the third point. We are God's masterpiece. You could put in there masterpiece if you're filling in your blanks. You could put in the word workmanship. NIV said workmanship. New Living says we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ. There it is. That's the phrase we are watching for. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And you know what? He's not done with you yet. He's not done with me yet. Yes, you are that new creation on the inside. Yes, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And that is how he sees you and me. Do we always act like the new creation? No, unfortunately, we don't. We still got this flesh that we have to struggle against all of our years. And sometimes the flesh just gets the best of us. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do, even as new creatures in Christ. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. And we confess those sins. We ask him to forgive us. Hopefully, we are in the Word. As one, I think 2 weeks ago, someone said to me, I want to bring this out. As far as we're talking about in Christ, she said to me, and that is also, we're in the Word because Jesus is the Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, Verse 14, the Word, was it up there? Oh, Caden, are you helping him? I thought, okay, just now, all right, good. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, right? Bethlehem. So, Jesus, we know, is the living Word. So if we're in him, we have to be as well in his Word because that tells us who we are in him, right? It all works together. And he's still working in us. Thank goodness for his patience. You think of, let's go back to physically, okay? We are his masterpiece. Well, it's sort of what Ann was talking to the kids about here today. How from the moment of conception, we are a living being, a living human being from the very moment of conception. And as Psalm 139 so beautifully brings out about that, verses, the psalmist is saying, for you created my inmost being. You, God, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Each of us so unique, each with our very own fingerprint. Pretty amazing, isn't it? No fingerprints that exactly match another. And then, as we think about the wonder is in our days in modern medicine, all that we can observe of that child forming, being knit together in the womb, is incredible, isn't it? Totally incredible. When I've told you before, probably from, I'm not that old either, really, I don't think. But when my mom was pregnant with twins, she didn't even know till 2 weeks before she was giving birth that she was pregnant with twins. Myrna Herbold probably about the same way. Huh? No? You knew it longer? Shorter? No, longer. Okay, sorry, I'm putting you on the spot out there. Sorry. Just happened to see her sitting there. But how much more the new birth, this new creation that we are in Christ, God's masterpiece. We are his workmanship. Again, that verse 10 says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So I think, I hope we're all clear on this, but I always need to say it. It is not our works that save us. The good works have to follow. There's one of your blanks. The good works have to follow our salvation. They don't earn our salvation. There is nothing we can do to earn our salvation. There is no amount of money a person can give to pay their way into heaven. There's no amount of work a person can do to work their way to heaven. It is not based on that. Should those things follow our work, our giving? Yes. But it is by faith in Christ alone that we come to know him. Catechism, question 60, I'm not going to read, I read that to you last Sunday. The question was, how are you right with God? The first sentence of that answer is only by true faith in Jesus Christ. And then it goes on. But listen to question 61 because it ties in with this today. 61 says, so why can't the good we do make us right with God, or at least help make us right with Him. See, they're coming out of the Reformation, right, when this was written. And that's why that Reformation happened, because things had got so corrupt. And in the church, it was all about works, works, works. And so they're putting very much emphasis on to teach the people it is not about works. The question again, why can't the good we do make us right with God? Or at least help make us right with God? Here's the answer. Because the righteousness which can pass God's scrutiny, His judgment, right, must be entirely perfect and must in every way measure up to the divine law, right here. Even the very best we do in this life is imperfect and stained with sin. And it is. But in Christ, this all changes. And He's still working, changing us from glory to glory, the Bible says, working in us by the Holy Spirit of God to make us conform more and more to Him and His Word. We've probably seen the bumper sticker. I haven't seen it for a while, but you used to. You are somebody special because God doesn't make junk. Right? Yeah. You're His masterpiece. So here, His workmanship. These two verses, listen, they're in your meditation part of the Bible. Isaiah 64:8 says, "Yet, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of Your hand." Go back to chapter 29, verse 16 of Isaiah. This was, God was speaking very strongly to the people of Israel in their rebellion. And He says this, you turn things upside down with your perversity. In other words, you get it all mixed up, right? He says, shall the potter be considered equal with the clay? No, are we equal with God, our Creator? No. Shall the potter be considered equal with the clay, that the thing that is made, that's us, would say to its maker, He did not make me. Or the thing that is formed, that's us, say to Him who formed it, He has no understanding. What's that saying in short? God, You didn't make me right. God, You don't know what You're doing when You made me. Boy, are we hearing that loud today? We hear it loud. Loud. This whole transgender thing. One example. Really? That we, if you read your newspaper, we have to be passing laws about this now. Here, this is what's in our legislature, and I think it should pass, that this transgender bill, they're working on it right now. See, this is the clay saying to the potter, you made a mistake, God. Yeah, you give me this male body, but I'm really a female. Now, I'm trying not to mock things, okay? But really, so here's what the bill is supposed to do. This bill would make it a class one misdemeanor for a medical professional to perform a gender-affirming operation or surgery for anyone who is under 16. I would hope so. It started at 18 because of opposition. Okay, well, we'll bring it down to 16. Shouldn't be ever, period. But can a 16-year-old make these decisions? It says you can't perform the following surgeries on someone 16 or under. Castration, vasectomy, hysterectomy, mastectomy. Yeah, of course. Where's the common sense gone in all of this? You can't prescribe meds to stop normal puberty or high doses of testosterone to females or estrogen to males for a sex change, okay? There's other times, situations, yes, where that is done in a whole different arena, okay? You cannot remove healthy body parts. male or female? Hello? I hope not. Because minors are not capable of consenting to the transition. And I would argue that adults aren't either. Oh my, what we are God's masterpiece. And it just keeps going from craziness to craziness to further craziness, doesn't it? No, are there people that struggle with these thoughts? I'm not denying that. But do you let your kids do anything they want to do? As parents, grandparents? No, you set boundaries because you love them. Why did God give us the Ten Commandments? Because he loves us. And he knows without boundaries, we destroy ourselves. As simple as the studies on school playgrounds, I've read them many times. You have a playground where there is no boundary and the kids stay more in the middle, by and large, and that's where they play. You have boundaries and they play. They enjoy that whole area. Boundaries are for our protection. And God knows that and he gives it to us. And let me find this verse here quick. We read it in Ephesians 2:10. Just a second. I close the Bible up. What did he say here? All of us, verse 3. Also lived among them, the disobedient at one time. Here, listen. Gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. That's what this is all about. Gratifying cravings of the sinful nature. We could go on and on. We are God's masterpiece. He made us how we are, beautiful, created us in his own image, created us all with different gifts and purposes in life. I don't know if any of you noticed this stuff down here, but it is here for a reason. These have purposes. Each of these four things were specifically created. This, know what this is? I hear it here. Maybe somebody else said it. An old baptismal bowl. From the early church. Yeah, this is how they would do the baptisms instead of the big font that we have. This, you probably know, that's the chalice for the wine, right? At communion, designed for that purpose specifically. This too, of course, these two things we know, that is a coffee pot, right? Designed for that purpose. And this is a flower vase designed for that purpose, very simply. And you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works as he lives in you and works through you by his Spirit. Now, just a little bit. I know you're thinking, man, Pastor Mike, you got all those blanks to go through. Really? Yeah, I do. I don't think the pork line's done anyway yet, so. It is done? Oh, shucks. Okay, so this is just five individuals of Scripture, and obviously the examples are countless of just ordinary people like me and you that were available to God as his workmanship and his masterpiece for him to do amazing things. Number one, Ananias. Quite a guy. Acts chapter 9, when Saul, who's going around murdering Christians, gets knocked off his high horse, comes face to face with the living Christ, and gets saved. And is blinded for 3 days, and he's there in Damascus. And God comes to this guy, Ananias, who's just serving the Lord, minding his own business, comes to him in a vision and says, Ananias, I need you to go to this street called Straight. He gave him specific directions. And you're going to find this man there, Saul, and I want you to pray over him so that he will receive his sight. And Ananias is like, what? Are you kidding me? I know about that guy. He kills Christians. And you want me to go pray for him? Yeah, he's a chosen vessel of mine now. Well, Ananias obeys. And he goes, prays over him, Saul, who was Paul then. His sight is restored, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, then we go later, the second example, we got Barnabas, who's called the son of encouragement. That's what his name means. Saul, Paul, is now in Jerusalem, and he's trying to connect with the believers there, and they are scared of him. Could you imagine? Just let's bring it up to today. What if some top guy in ISIS or Al-Qaeda comes, moves into Menno, says, hey, I am a believer now. Now, some would rejoice and trust him. Others would be like, I don't know. I heard what you were doing over there in Iraq and Iran, killing people and all this. That's about what this was like. Barnabas, it says, when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. And Barnabas reaches out to Paul and embraces him and brings him in. God used him for that. How about Lydia? Number three, Lydia, just a seller of purple there in the city of Philippi. And she was at the river praying when Paul and Silas came there. They told her about Jesus. She received Jesus as her Lord. And the church in Philippi started in her house because she was available for God to use. Number four, Simon. That's your blank there. Simon of Cyrene, mentioned in three of the Gospels. This is Matthew there, just minding his own business on that day when they were going to crucify Jesus. You imagine? There they were taking Jesus. He was carrying his cross down the Via Della Rosa, as it's called, the way of the cross, the way of the agony, beaten so bad he could hardly even stand up. And here comes Simon of Cyrene in from the country. And someone points to him, you there, get in here. And he carries his cross. What an honor. What an honor. Did he know that was going to happen? I doubt it. No clue. How one more, this little boy with the five small loaves of bread and the two fish. Jesus says to Philip, we got to feed these people. Where are we going to find enough bread for these people to eat? Philip says, 8 months' wages isn't even enough to buy the food to feed this multitude. Andrew comes, says, hey, there's this little guy here. He's willing to give up his lunch, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. But what is that among so many? Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? When we're faced with a situation that seems so impossible, what can I do? You can pray, number one. Maybe you can give. Maybe you can go and help in another natural way, and God can take that and multiply that for a blessing in that person's life. Andrew's like, what's that among so many? But here's this kid, he came. We don't even know his name, but God does, doesn't he? He was God's masterpiece, chosen for that point, at that time, for God to use to feed thousands, 15,000 easily there that day. So, as we wrap this up, again, with each of these, then you praise the Lord for it, for who you are in Christ. Again, not because of anything in our goodness. No, it's all Him that we can say. So you say this after me, okay? Please. I thank you, Father, that I am a new creation in Christ. I thank you, Father, that you have made me to be the righteousness of God in Christ. And I thank you, Father, that in Christ I am your workmanship. I am your masterpiece. Please work through me. by your Spirit. Amen. So you praise him. Praise him for these things and think on it. Learn those verses if you don't know them already. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done, your goodness, your blessings in incredible ways. Help us to walk in you more and more each and every day. And we yield ourselves to you, Lord, as this closing hymn is going to say, our prayer, make me a blessing. Out in the highways and byways of life, make me a blessing to someone today. That is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And let's stand as we sing that closing hymn, please. Number 670. And it really is a prayer. Serve the Lord through this church in many ways. You are great blessings. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. Let me have a prayer for the meal. I better do that, huh? Father, thank you now as we go into the social hall and just enjoy the fellowship with one another, the food that's been prepared. Thank you for it. Thank you for Matt Fisher working through the night, literally, for this pork loin. And we receive this all to the blessing and nourishment and strength of our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you, Cindy.